So, Father, thank you. Thank you for time off from the regular. I pray that in the day, people will have a moment, a few minutes, to be able to just step back and reflect on things that are wider than what's filled their day. Thank you for a day off, a week off, a couple weeks. Thank you, Father, for the work that you've called us to do. Help us to find not only meaning in that, but that we are serving you as you've called us to work down here and to maintain. And so I pray that you would help us to be, as those professing to be yours, that be ones that are seeking first your kingdom and doing that extra work to be able to see how we can grow into the image of your Son, how we can become more dependent on you, and how our priorities can be shaped less by the world and our own desires and more by our desire to please you and be like you. We want your priorities. May your kingdom come and your will be done. So help us as we look to your word here for a few moments. Help us to be alert. Help those that have had long days. Help them to be able to fight to give attention to your word. And then would you help us as we come to prayer, as we learn the work of prayer, but then also the privilege of prayer. And Father, teach us how to pray. We'll come in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. Remind. Three times in these verses, then again in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He's saying, what you have been given is precious, and it's under attack. We're talking about eternal life in an eternal kingdom with the king of that eternal kingdom. It's that important, and it's under attack. But the gospel is sufficient. Stay focused there. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know these things. So with these things, he's specifically talking about verses 3 to 11, which we spent most of our year looking at. But he's talking then about the common body of truth that is given to those that are in Christ. Verses like this here. I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you received. You stand in that. You live inside of the one that I preached to you, which you're saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. You receive what I preached, but what I gave you, I received. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the common salvation that Jude talks about. Contend for this common salvation. There's life inside of these words. Why do we need to be reminded of the gospel if we already know it? Well, what causes facts you believe in to fade? When there's a disconnect between your words and your life. Disconnect between the things you say you believe and what you're feeling right now. We're not seeing how it lives, not valuing the position that we've been given in Christ and God's promises, so we look elsewhere for value, for instruction. So what we're talking about, the formal way to put this, is we're talking about a confessional foundation that dictates practice. A confessional foundation that dictates practice. Remember, faith versus the faith. Remember, we talked about the Rick Warren incident here with the Southern Baptist Convention. But we said, what happens if we focus on, well, as long as I have faith, apart from focusing on the faith, a confessional foundation that dictates our faith. Well, what happens if we focus on faith apart from the faith? Well, then we're going to focus on sincerity, genuineness, whether we feel fulfilled in ministry and service. We're going to be focused on tasks. We're going to be focused on whether we're getting our bang for our buck instead of focusing on a standard and on accountability. Our goals will end up coming from another final authority. What are our goals going to end up being if we're not focused on the faith? Our goals will come from our feelings, from smaller joys. You know what? I just want to sleep. I feel like eating. I don't relate to anybody around here. I know we'll all be in heaven, but I don't relate to anybody. And you end up acting on that. You end up following your immediate emotions instead of the struggle to uncover, to discover, to understand, and to obey the implications of the faith. the faith. And that will leave your life coming from the mission rather than your mission coming from the life of God. Life coming from the mission. Whatever, you're thinking, this ain't worth it. Forget it. I tried that. It didn't work. Whatever it is, maybe even being here at prayer meeting, I think I tried it. Didn't work. I know they think it's valuable. It's not working for me. You'll be focused on your mission and life from that rather than the mission that comes from the life of God. Whatever we need to study about our culture and about relevance. I was thinking about that constantly as I went to different churches on vacation, talking to different relatives. And I was just, it was just like we're looking at totally different things. We're focused on totally different understandings of how the gospel plays out at different times. Whatever we need to study about the culture and relevance, it's very important that we figure out the core, the eternal standard. And that comes from learning more about the kingdom of heaven and treasuring the kingdom of heaven. And where does that come from? Learning to treasure the King of heaven. What are the absolutes? What is our foundation of faith? What are the things that you would fight to protect? Because without these absolutes, it would not be the authentic gospel. Well, you gave me a few things. And I said, okay, fine, why don't we work through just our doctrinal statement that we have. We have a simple doctrinal statement. But what causes these things that you say, oh, yeah, I believe that, what causes them to slip where you're not living by these things? Something else is providing more life, a bigger cause for you to fight for. We can teach these, and maybe we need to teach better, but you must study these core things on your own with Christ at the center. It's not just doctrines. It's the living Christ. It's who he is. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. To be with him is to have direction, is to have a center that doesn't budge. So you look at, you look there. If indeed you have heard of Christ, you've been taught in Christ, just as truth is in Jesus. It's wrapped up there. And you say, well, yeah, of course it's with Christ. No. What do you need right now to live? Look to God through Christ and focus on the gospel given to you. But you've already done this. You've already done this, he's telling them, these people here. He's telling them, you have been lived there, so continue living that gospel now. You have to work out the gospel in daily, ordinary life. So remember, I put it this way in a few questions for you last time. Can you articulate the gospel? Can you clearly say, these are the essential elements of the good news from God toward us? Can you articulate it? Are you conscious of how that gospel affects each moment of each day of your life? And I'm not trying to be weird and make it so you can't move during, but for you to think about, if this is true, then what should I be focused on now? If this is true, how should I feel? Okay? And if this is true, what should I value that's different than the people around me? And that's the third question. Can you identify other gospels that daily threaten the gospel? Maybe for some of you, it's just, like I said, very simple things. Oh, I've got to have a cup of coffee, you know? Or, you know, I got to get away from them. I can't think right now around them. Maybe, but can you identify other gospels that daily threaten the gospel? Remember that we said Paul Tripp in his Quest for More that the kids were reading this summer said that God's big kingdom is lived in the same places as the little kingdom lives. The same places where you live for yourself is where God's kingdom needs to be lived out. You don't need to go way out there. You don't need to change everything. You need to live for his kingdom in the parts of your everyday life right now. So we're going to think about these places where we have different priorities than the gospel. Remember, false teaching that we're not going to get to in chapter 2 and 3. It's going to talk about that all the way through the rest of the book. False teaching is only dangerous because people want it. It's only dangerous because people want it. It's feeding some need or desire. It seems more attractive than gospel fullness. Remember David's. He said, our memory fades fast when the pressure is on or when new and attractive teaching comes along. Our memory fades fast when the pressure is on or when new and attractive teaching comes along. If you're not living by the gospel, at best, this new and attractive teaching, these other things that we're living for, at best, they're distracting, keeping us from the pure mission and obedience and stealing the resources that should be used for building God's kingdom. But it's dangerous. Students of false teachers are unstable. 2 Peter 2:14. Students of false teachers warp the scripture, 2 Peter 3:16. So you remember that David said, we especially need reminding when we don't have the Bible or other Christian literature. But he also said, we need reminding when we have material that would influence us if we would only read it. What did you read in God's Word today that held your attention? Remember, one of the most dangerous things you can do is read the Bible and immediately forget what you've read. What did you read today? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What did you read today, and how did it affect your thinking? The second thing is, why do we push books over here? Not because that book will fix everything. You need thoughts other than your own that are meditating on the same kind of things and pushing you back into God's Word and up in a way that you see God, you worship Him, you see where you're off, you repent from it, and you turn. Where were you, did you repent today? And say, wow, I forgot that you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, but abundant in loving kindness, or whatever. You think about it. So these reminders that Peter is giving is very much down to earth. Peter is reinforcing the gospel already given. All these false teachers, he's not getting caught in all this, you know, I'm good, they're bad. He's saying that, but he's saying, where's the antidote to that? In what was already given to you, what was preached. I'm working on my run today on the last verses here. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, this is chapter 3, verse 17, be on your guard so you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's going to take work, remember? Paul, some things which are hard to understand in his writings, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Peter here is reinforcing the gospel already given. They don't need anything else. It speaks of the power of the gospel. Look at this. This is what happens as you start seeing through scripture. You don't need new truth. I don't care if you can't figure out whether to use cryptocurrency or not. I don't care if you can't figure out whether the vaccines, and you have a strong opinion about these vaccines. I don't care if you're focused on all your podcasts on politics. This, you need to be growing in this. Look, we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And look at that. Just like 1 John, faith in Christ Jesus lives out relationally. The love which you have for all the saints. Why? Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you previously heard in the word of truth. That's where life is. The gospel which has come to you is all the world. It's constantly bearing fruit, increasing. The gospel bears fruit, and it's doing it in you also. It's bearing fruit in you since the day you heard it. The simple elements of the gospel are supposed to be enough to cause you to flourish. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. All right? So you might say it wrong. I might say it wrong. You might focus on the wrong thing. I might focus on the wrong thing. But you need to say it's in there somewhere. The answers, the life I need is in what heaven calls good news. And it's tied in reconciling you to God in him, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past. Look, it keeps going. You recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you. What did they do? We proclaim to you the gospel of God. All the work. It's not just people issues. They're pain in the neck, and I tried, and they're falling apart. Where did he focus with all of that? We proclaim to you the gospel of God. We send Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. That faith is in line with the faith. No one be disturbed about these afflictions. Why? You yourselves know we have been destined for this. That's what the faith says. We kept telling you in advance that we would suffer affliction. 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. You don't have the right religion that handles homosexuality correctly. You have the right religion that stems from fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. All that other stuff, the right and wrong, is because I want to maintain the precious fellowship with God. Not because God's mad at me if I take the wrong thing. Look what he's given me in himself. I was reading 1 John 1 and 2 again and reminded of the privilege of fellowship with God, but the honesty needed when you say we're in fellowship with God. You walk in the light, no darkness inside. But Schreiner says, as the truth of the gospel grasps them, that it grants them power to live in a way pleasing to God. As the truth of the gospel grasps them, it grants them power to live in a way pleasing to God. So strengthening the gospel by reminders is the job not merely of pastors, but of Christians. Don't focus on all your failures. You can't look at a holy God and think everything's fine because you're not holy. On the other side, if you're focused on your failures, you're not honoring what God has done for you in Christ. Confess it, and you worship Christ. Every time you confess your sins and run back because you say, because of Christ, my great high priest, which pastor's been preaching on in Hebrews, then I can what? Not only have a right standing with God, but I can be free to be, let my light shine before men. They may see my good deeds and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. Live the gospel now. You got to do that. You got to live it now because time is short. I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. As long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, remember we said it was a tent, a temporary shelter. He's not picking on the body. In fact, the body's very valuable. You look at 1 Corinthians 6, it says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Someday your body is going to, after Christ comes back, we're going to be, our soul's going to be given a new body. Your body is not nothing. Treat it honorably now. Because it's important now and then. But here, he's saying, my time down here is limited. I know as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, I'm knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. I'm going to put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Remember we said perhaps that was a vision, but the focus here is probably on what he sees. He says, I'm getting old. I'm getting old, and persecution is growing for Christians, combined with, remember in John, it said, Jesus said, you're not going to die a natural death. So his age, the growing persecution, Jesus' words, you wouldn't die a natural death. He goes, my time is short. And as I look at the end of my life approaching, it's the right thing to do to remind you of the gospel that you were given, that you have been living by. Why is this right to remind them in view of his impending death? It shows the value of the gospel. It shows the priority of the gospel. It shows his responsibility. I have to give you the gospel. It's what I was commissioned to do. So here you go. That was the catch-up. What dangers need to be avoided when we feel the shortness of time? This is it. This is his final testament here. His life's coming to an end. He goes, the time is short. So if the positive thing is to carry out the calling that God has given you, what dangers do we need to avoid when we feel the shortness of time? What do you think? Whether it's just it's with your death, okay, or any time that you feel we're running out of time, what are the dangers we need to avoid? What do you think? Yeah, go, Jim.
Looking at verse 15, and I will also be diligent, and at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. But the danger is putting this aside.
Why? And why would we
because
do that?
If we start focusing on other things, and we get amnesia of what Peter's saying here.
Okay. dangers must be when we feel the shortness of time, God's word, ignoring the instructions, ignoring the goals. You know, I've told you my favorite one is of Narnia is the silver chair. You know that I keep hearing, remember the signs, remember the signs, remember the signs, remember the signs, remember. And what do? They forget the signs. Ignoring God's word. Because you think you know it. When the shortness of time, you just got to get it done. What do you got to, what else? Taryn, what are you thinking? Yeah.
Just something I've been learning at work a little bit is like quality over quantity. So I can get done as much as I can in an hour.
Yeah.
Or I can focus on one project and do it well to the best of my ability, which is what God calls us to do.
All right.
And if we're sharing the gospel, we don't want to run around and, you know, share the gospel with 20 people in 15 minutes. We want to stick with them. I mean, you can, but you want to stick with them and actually follow through and, you know, help them actually see God. And then, you know, if you can, follow up with them and get them into a church and, help them on the Christian walk.
Or change focus, all right? You know what I'm thinking when she said that? I'm thinking bucket list, right? Andrew Peterson has a song about, Alaska or bust. Remember that song? It's like, hey, the cancer's catching up. So what am I going to do? Road trip, okay? And I'm not saying you shouldn't necessarily go on a road trip, but all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you go, I got 6 days left. Well, then I'm going to this restaurant, and I'm going to Disneyland, and I'm, you know, what are you going to do? You go, well, those are stupid. What do you? If you're not careful, you forgot what he called you to do. You just continue with that. You can't. Remember somebody, I'm not going to bring up the name because I'm not trying to trash somebody, but years ago, there was somebody dying of cancer, and they came up to Pastor John and said, what, you know, can I do something big for God? And he was like, why don't you go on visitation with me? Why don't you do this? Why don't you? Nope, couldn't do that. Why don't you show up to church? Why don't you read your Bible? Nope, couldn't do that. Needed to do something big because I'm going to die. And quality, do what he told you to. You weren't the Savior. He is. He's the Master. He told you you're one of the servants. He'll get his will accomplished. You continue. So maybe it's with that one person. You continue. You continue living in front of them. Instead of going, my world, it is shrinking. It is shrinking. What do you think? Dangers. Where's the mic? Here it is, Jody, then Mom.
Kind of along with that, I was thinking that a danger might be to be a bulldozer with the gospel and not to think and pray and to consider the people with whom I would be talking and what their need would be, if their need would be the gospel. But there also might be ones that just need to be encouraged, who are already saved. I mean, I'm just thinking that we could think I really have to do this, but not consider and pray and take time to think, what does the Lord, who does he want me to spend time with?
Yeah.
Who does he want me to talk about?
Yeah. Looking for results. I do think that's what's killing a lot. I mean, there's a brand new book coming out by, I don't know, it just crossed. I went through 1,000 emails, dumping them in the trash can, trying to catch up back. I was at my lowest number before vacation. I was at 1,450 in my inbox, and I was at 2,900 when I came home, and I'm just throwing them away as fast as I can. But right in the middle of there was this new book about why are they all leaving the church, and how do we get them back? All right, it's studying all those deconstructing ones. All right. And if you're not careful, a lot of that has come because we're going, well, I don't know. I didn't get anything out of prayer meeting. Remember what I told you? If you don't put any preparation in for this, you're going to get less than you could. I don't think there's time for everybody to do everything, but I'm not talking about hours. I've told you, I take 5 minutes, read the passage, ask your own questions before you come in here. Instead of going, why is he reviewing? I've told you, if I felt like you guys were talking about living inside of the passage, I'd go on. I've thought about what happens if there was a church that was already doing the things that I don't think we're doing. Meditating on the word and doing it together in a way that it's not just whether you get it, but you're helping the others in here to get it. And we together are living under the word, by the word, in a way that we're, what she said, not bulldozing the gospel. What do you want to change in my life? Are you sure it's not what you want and what God wants? You go, well, I don't know, and so I'll just leave it alone. You won't listen anyway. Thanks. And that's where I said, then you don't love me. And not just me, you don't love each other. What do you want her to grow in? What do you want him to grow in? Well, I don't know. I don't know them because they don't open up. Oh, come on. Come on. You give up so easily with them? This is God's work for you. You care for them, but you don't bulldoze with the gospel with that. And you do that when you're ending up just looking for results. God said, Jarrett, they had a hard heart. Maybe they did, and maybe you were just annoying. Think about that. On the other side, make sure if you're quiet and intentional that you are intentional. You don't have to bring the results, but you have to be heading somewhere. Mom, what are you thinking?
Alert to Taryn and Jody.
Yeah.
Mine would say misguided zeal, which we get a zeal. I've got to do all this, yeah. But the other thing I keep thinking of is, I think most of us have heard this, you know, if we're abiding in him daily or keeping close, and I know someone was asked, well, what would you do if you died tomorrow?
Right.
Well, I'd get up and do the same things that we sense, and that's been brought out too, but being in the word prayer, I mean, listening to God and obey, mm-hmm. that would be what we should be doing.
Yeah, listening to God and obeying. Misguided zeal. I thought about that a lot on vacation as I was in different churches that focus on different things. I know that movie's big right now, the one about sex trafficking. Go watch it. I'm glad to watch it. I'd love to watch it. But be slow to say that you care about those being trafficked. And why do I say that? Because very few of you will deal with people that you find too tough. And you think, I just got to get those girls out of that mess. Good luck. Good luck. And then you go, well, they're codependent or something bad's got... Yes, there's a mess. And somehow you'll get blamed by everybody. And you say, well, somebody should do it. Yes, start by loving the people next to you. As you do that, God prepares you for places where you're able to help in those situations, and your head's going to spin so much as you try to get in there, and you're going to run out of hope as unless you think, no, they need this. They need to do this. Says who? It's hard. And you're going to have to be holding tightly to him, what she said, listening to God and obeying, abiding in him, so you're able to calmly do the next step. And is there a mic here? Yes. All right, Jonathan, go.
Well, this is honestly something that's a problem with both shortness of time and too much time, but I think it's further aggravated by shortness of time.
Yeah.
Falling into the trap of thinking our time is our own and we have to do mm-hmm. something about it. I don't know. We try to be too strategic in one sense. Mm-hmm. And while we're not supposed to be foolish mm-hmm. with the use mm-hmm. of the time God has given us, it's not up to us to plan everything out. And mm-hmm. I think on one side, not realizing there's too much time and you end up having like the guy in the one parable who built too many barns and then God said, fool, you've been storing a treasure in the wrong place and you didn't know when your time was going to end. And on the other side, when we feel the shortness of time and we feel tempted like, oh no, I need to seize this time and go do a million things, it's like our job is to be faithful, not to bring about a million results for God. It's to obediently seek after him and do what he would have us do, and he'll make us effective with what he wants us to be, where he wants us to be effective. Yeah. But ultimately, we need to obediently rest in his sovereignty and do the same thing that we've been doing.
Sovereignty needs to live for you so that you can continue, whether in under pressure or whether it seems to be a quiet time in your life, whether you have a lot of time, you have a little bit of time. You see, instead of following him, my head's been on that Sunday school thing. Am I teaching Sunday or you? Okay. No, I was planning on, unless you had a leak. All right. No, I love that you guys get to listen to him. He's going different places, and I love that. I love that you have the discussion. I love when it carries over. But I've been thinking the whole time away of that question that we left for Sunday school. Remember, as Mark Dever is going to come back, and he's going to say churches need to be known for loving God and loving their neighbor. And then he talked about the germ. Remember that? He said there's one germ that's going to facilitate that, that's going on inside of a church. Remember what that germ was? Following Christ. So remember, the question was, okay, how can following Christ lead you to love God and to love your neighbor? And you say, well, I don't like it that way. Good, turn it around. How can loving God lead you to following Christ? He's saying they're going to be known for following him. Well, we tempted to think it's ours. I got to do all this stuff. No, you need to follow him. But watch it. You need to follow him. We're talking about false teachers. If you can't let anybody else examine what you think following him is, that's a little scary. Sandy, what are you thinking? Oh, all right, Jim, go.
I really appreciate what was said so far about sharing with someone and following up, knowing that you'll probably meet up with that person again or somebody you're working with. But is there a place for coming in stealth in an airport or somewhere else mm-hmm. where you're not going to see, you probably won't see the person again? I've been criticized of being pushy in that part.
Yep. And I have my opinion of who's too pushy in here and goes too quick and who's too slow. You have your opinion of who's too pushy and too slow. There's many pieces in here, but I would argue there that it, as long as there's fear of man, okay, there's not going to be fear of God. When there's fear of God, you won't bulldoze, okay? But that doesn't mean they won't feel like they're being bulldozed, okay? So it's tied not to us just arguing endlessly. That you want to simplify this, then know him. You watch how he was treated, and you're going to get that same range of treatment then too. Which means I've done this many times. I've walked into strangers, okay, and I said, normally I wouldn't ask these questions. They come inside of the heart of a relationship, but you and I are never going to get to meet. I'm going to walk away from this. And so please take this knowing that I would rather do this inside relationship. What do you think when I say whatever and I'll drop a bomb like that? I'll drop a bomb. And I'll say, who would you be comfortable asking you that kind of question? And what would your answer be? You've got to make an awareness that this is not normal, that we're not going to get a lot of time here because people today aren't used to seeing things in process. They want the whole package, the whole movie at once, okay? And instead, we got to realize as a servant, maybe I planted, polished, watered, God brings the growth. Sandy, what are you thinking?
Well, this kind of encompasses a lot that's already been said, but that you don't go off the deep end looking for a better way towards the end. Is that what I want to say? I remember when my grandmother was dying, she would say, I wonder if I've done enough. Have I done enough? And I questioned that because it's like we can't earn our way there. And she was always what I thought was a good Christian, but all of a sudden, I think she was looking for something to grasp hold to be sure of her salvation.
Right.
And
right.
So the thing to do is to be consistent in our worship of God and know our hope is in him. So the danger is not to,
right.
like I said, go off
right.
the deep end.
Right, right. Which, if you guys are, read your Bible. Did you hear me? Read your Bible. You can ask me, John, did you read your Bible? All right? Meditate on that. You done with your Bible? Are you reading something else? If you don't have anything else to read, read Jerry Bridges. Did you hear me? Read Jerry Bridges. There's a whole pile of those books, right? It's not right. They don't have to agree with everything. You're looking for a study that's going to because if you follow some of, as he patiently, quietly moved through all these, a lot of these tricky things, that's where our kids spent a lot of time the last 2 years in, what's the book? transforming grace, okay? And he called it the performance treadmill. He said, watch out for the performance treadmill. And you go, well, I don't have to perform. You don't act holy, you're going to hell. It's all over the Bible. On the other side, you better figure out what will prove whether you are doing that for your salvation or because of your salvation. And you said, no, I'm not. I'm just doing it because I love him. You'll see at the end of your life when all of a sudden you get these, I got to do more, I got to make sure. Well, then you find out now something's not right. Something is not right because if you are his, you are praising him for what he's given you in Christ. You're very aware of the sin that's still in your life that needs to go. You're mortified by that. On the other side, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So that the excellency of what? Of those works that come out may be of God and not of us. And you say, well, that's it. It's all him, not me. It's all him and not you to what? To rest in him and to be conformed to the image of his son. Everything you have just said in here. Have I done enough is one of the dangers of the short time. No, you haven't been faithful. But what do you need to do? Not do more. You need to be faithful. Do the next right thing. Where is it? Olga?
Maybe another extreme would be to just completely give up. And I've just seen too many, people like in old age or whatever. And it's my fear too, yes. Just to be whatever,
yes.
Useless. And,
right.
You know,
right.
Just, okay.
Right. And I hate the Christian version of that. The Christian version is, I put in my time, now it's time for the younger generation. I'll let them grow. It's like, careful. You better be wrestling with all that God's called you to do even while you help them grow. Even while you let your hands go and say, I don't have to serve in this way. Let me let them serve in this way. But you better be fighting your flesh and living on display for the glory of God all the way to the end. Remember, I can't get it out of my head, D.A. Carson's dad saying, God, deliver me from the sins of old age, where I live life in the rearview mirror, thinking that my best actions were behind me, that my most important work was behind me. How many times do we look for people's last words? And you all want to know when you're going to die, right? Because you're thinking, I don't want to just say, I have to go to the bathroom, and that's my last words, right? Yet you're saying, no, I want to say something meaningful. And where does that come from? It comes from a life of fellowship with God. So then we head in that direction. So giving up, okay, and I've failed or done all I could. All I could. That's a danger. Okay, John?
It's the same thing. Basically, feeling like it's wiser to stay out of the spotlight, feeling like it's wiser to let other people take the jobs, the hard things, because we're afraid that if we mess up with the little time we have left, people are going to blame us, then it's easier to just fade out of the spotlight and don't do anything.
Okay. That when everybody goes, well, at least what you can do is pray, all right? Your body doesn't work, so at least you can pray. That's dependent on you knowing what a life of prayer looks like, okay? What a life of fellowship with God looks like, all right? If you believe that prayer is communing with the God who gives life, who gives direction, okay, then you will be praying not only for yourself, but for all the needs around, which means you need to know those needs. You need to be involved in building what God builds, okay? So if you get to that thing of saying, I'm just going to fade away. I don't want to be a whining person dying of, I don't know, if you don't want to die of cancer, what do you want to die of? And you just go, I'm going to go quietly, okay? No, you go fighting for the kingdom. You go fighting for the kingdom, even if you have to fight all these other desires and say, you know what, maybe I need to get back to what Sandy was saying. Maybe I need to get this straight once and for all. It's all him and not me. So I can rest. I can rest. You know that whole thing, somebody's about to die, and they're all agitated, and then so-and-so walks in their room, their son, their whoever, and they go, now I can die. Maybe you and I need to be able to say, now I can trust him. So I can live my last breaths in peace with that. Yeah, where is it? Andrew, go ahead.
When we feel
Put
like,
it up to your mouth.
When we feel like we haven't done anything to serve God.
Okay, Okay? What dangers need to be avoided when we feel the shortness of time? You feel like you haven't done anything to serve God. You don't need to serve God. All right? You need to glorify God. How do you glorify God? By looking to Him. You look to Him and see something praiseworthy. Was anybody else? And then I'll go. All right. We got a couple more minutes. All right. Yeah, go, Mom. Well, just wait. I can't hear you. Come on. No, Dan. Not you wait. Her wait.
All right. David Jeremiah, I think, was just saying.
Say
David.
It.
David Jeremiah.
All right.
The other day was sharing about the end of life, that it's so important to stay close. Solomon made wrong decisions near the end of his life. He was bringing out ones who, I'll stop, like some of these. But some of our biggest decisions are right at the end of life. And so we need to be obedient to the very end.
John, anything. Anything for God? For God? And we okay, and then forget that called to be faithful to the end. Isn't that the church? And to the one, that's one of the seven churches. You be faithful to the end, and I'll give you the crown of life, right? You're called to be faithful to end. Are you done? All right, let's just get a little further here with this. Coxswain. Go. Coxswain. Crew. Help him out. What's a coxswain? He said crew. Nobody knows? Holly. All right. Somebody that's proud? Susie? On a boat? All right. Coxswain, crew, on a boat? Do you know? The leader. The leader. All right. I'm not an expert. You can out-Wikipedia me. Okay? Cox or coxie? He doesn't row, but he steers the boat. That's the crew team. Okay? The crew, he steers. He faces forward. He coordinates the power and rhythm of the rowers. Now can you see the picture? Those really long boats with a million people, and they're all, you want to see it in the Roman times. You got that guy beating the drum, and the rowers going to that cadence, right? Okay? He is the coach inside the boat. The rowers sit with their backs to the direction of travel. His job is to motivate, encourage, and help the coach train them. It is the calling to keep them moving. Listen, 1 Peter 5. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility. And he continues. 2 Peter 1:1. Remember this one? Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle, commissioned by Jesus Christ to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're caring for their soul. You're proclaiming the gospel and exhorting them to keep it in mind. The Christian knows that there's more than what's just here. Live for that kingdom now. Think of the cadence of rowing. The cadence. Live for that kingdom now. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I must fulfill that calling. Row, row, row. You have a short time to fulfill it. Schreiner notes, Peter, by appealing to his death and the words of Jesus, invoked his authority, and you have here a final testament. Many farewell addresses in Scripture. Jacob in Genesis 49, we've gone through that, and we're going to come back and finish, I believe, Joseph here in a couple weeks. Moses in Deuteronomy 33. Joshua in Joshua 24. Jesus' words in John 13 to John 17, Paul with the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. If it's important for them, I'm going to always remind you of these things. I'm going to always remind you of these things. If it's important for them to live in line with their calling, then it's important for Peter, like Mom said. Peter goes, it's not just you continuing. I have to fulfill that calling all the way up to my death. All the way to my death. You prioritize as you come to the end. Remember, I've told you this Puritan keeps grabbing me. He's quotable. The nearer our journey's end be, the faster should we run according to our strength. According to our strength. You go, I can't run like I used to. Okay. In serving Christ and doing good to souls. For when death is near, the best will think the great part of their business undone. Seeing the crowds, they were dispirited, like without a shepherd. Remember that? Matthew 9:37. Dispirited and disheartened, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Be devoted to this truth. It's the center. It's your life. It's your goal. Don't drift or be enticed by another truth or center. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the world. The world daily, subtly, keeps trying to squeeze us to its mold of what sounds true, but there's no life. All right, remember I told you I wish my kids would have read more? I said, fine. If they're not gone yet, we're going to take the days I have, and I'm going to pull the books off my shelf that I wish they'd read. And I've started with Isabel Kuhn reading In the Arena, chapter 3. All right, you read it. It's foreign. It's foreign to what you're used to hearing, how a Christian would think, how a Christian would act. But as she thinks about God's call in her life to be a missionary, she wrestled. Even her mother begged her not to go. Her mother, a devoted one, supporting all the missionaries over there, but didn't want her daughter to go over there. Okay? When she was at Moody Bible Institute, which was like the place to go, it was the biggest of all the schools. It was the one that was the most missions-minded, the most putting servants out into God's field. Okay? She finally gets there, works her tail off. She begged for a job so that she could pay for it. You know, none of these, fitness centers and I don't like the food at college, all right? It was a way different view of Christian service. A fellow student came to her burdened that all the required reading for study, and it was amazing to hear how much they had to read of the Bible, read it over and over and over, just the Bible. The student came to her burdened that all the required reading for study of scriptures would make people forget the personal devotion where the word would lead to worship, which would lead to repentance, which would lead to obedience. She pled with Isabel and said, would you tell the girls to not forget the life that's to come from relationship with God, from his word. This is the living word of Hebrews 4:12, where it says the word is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. This is why in 2 Timothy it says avoid worldly and empty chatter. Remember, everything that's not the truth is worldly and empty chatter, right? Be diligent, workman that does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Avoid worldly and empty chatter, it lead to further ungodliness. It's not just you're wrong, it's changing your priorities, your actions, your responses. Their talk will spread like gangrene. Men who have gone astray from the truth, here's how they went astray, upset the faith of some. Firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And what's the sign then? Everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now you see that all the different kinds of vessels, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, these wrong things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Flee youthful lust. Think of youthful lust. Impatience, all right? Have to have it now. Wait, you think what they are. And pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Be diligent. So as we come to this last one, and we got to stop here for tonight, this is what I was going to ask you as we closed, but we can't answer this now. I want you to summarize Peter's hope for these reminders. What would result if they heeded his reminders. Summarize it. What is his goal with what would happen? What would it spur them on? What would it stir them to do? Think about that as you head to pray. We'll finish this section, hopefully, next week. But I want us to sing this old